Welcome to the Productivity Show, the Asian Efficiency Podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of your time, energy, and attention. My name is Tan Pham. I'm the CEO of Asian Efficiency. And today's guest is Garrett Salpeter, the founder of NewFit. He invented a device that has helped me recover from shoulder surgery in only 2.5 months, something most people would take 6 months to do. We dive deeper in how he's changing the way world-class professional athletes recover from injuries and surgeries, and how you can too. Whether you're recovering from an injury yourself or you're fascinated about how you can achieve peak performance with your body through technology, this episode is for you. At the end, we also talk about how you can build muscle faster with technology and how you can have a more productive workout. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/223. And now, on with the show. All right, today with me, I have a very special guest. His name is Garrett Salpeter. How are you today?
Hey, Tan. It's great to be here.
I'm super excited to have you here today. Super honored as well. We've been working together. You've helped me recover from my surgery earlier this year. And you have this special device that you invented to help people recover faster and help them have really productive workouts. And I kind of want to dive into that a little bit later. But can you introduce yourself to the people of who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Garrett Salpeter. As you said, I'm the founder of NewFit. And NewFit is an abbreviation or a way of shorthand way of saying neurological fitness. And so my whole message and everything that we do at our company is about helping people get more neurologically fit or neurologically healthy. And that in turn helps people recover faster from injuries, helps them get more out of their workouts, helps them live at the level that they want to live so they can achieve their goals, whether they be in fitness or in something physical or in other areas of their lives. And I came at this originally from a background of having a lot of passion for the human body, which came about during my time as an athlete. You know, I grew up playing ice hockey and was never a very good athlete naturally. So I really became passionate about strength and conditioning because I saw a way to potentially turn myself into a good athlete. And this idea that I was malleable and could actually improve and change, you know, became very exciting to me. And then I was frustrated when it didn't actually work like it was supposed to. And similarly, I was frustrated with experiences I had in the more traditional medical world. So I kind of had this passion for the human body, but didn't really see anything but dead ends. And so I was going to be an engineer, physics major. I came here to the University of Texas for engineering school and thought that was it. And then I had some experiences where I was introduced to some of the earlier versions of this type of work that we're doing now. And I was able to heal some torn ligaments without surgery and just kind of blew my mind. So I ended up, instead of becoming an engineer like I kind of set out, I ended up taking a course correction and started doing this. And so a lot of it I learned originally in apprenticeship mentorship format. And then I went back to school for a PhD program in neuroscience. And I'm technically still on a leave of absence from that, which I took that leave to launch our device, which we'll talk about. But once I've figured out this is what I wanted to do, I've been working with clients here for 10 years in Austin. Originally started out of 150, maybe 200 square feet in the back of a chiropractor's office. And now it's grown to our home office here, which you've been to. And we have a team of 8 to 10 practitioners. And then now, just in the last year, we started licensing this technology and the approach around to many businesses around the country. So it's been cool to see it progress. And it's definitely been a little bit of a non-traditional path.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I first worked with you, this was like a couple of months ago, I had surgery and I had to recover from it. And I had several people tell me like, hey, you need to go to NewFit and it will help you recover faster. And they're going to shock you. So don't be weirded out that this thing is going to be locked up on your body and it's going to do all these weird things. And we'll get to that in just a sec. But what made you invent this device? From my recall, it was you were playing sports, you got injured, and there was something that held you back. Could you share that story with people?
Yeah, for sure. So I had an experience where I had some torn ligaments in my wrist. I ended up being a practice squad ice hockey player in college, which for me was actually an accomplishment. And I had some torn ligaments towards the end of my time in college there. I was supposed to have surgery and be out for a few months. And I ended up working with a gentleman who's a functional neurologist. So originally a chiropractor, and went through this functional neurology training. And by taking a neurological approach to something that's traditionally thought of as purely orthopedic, it was mind-blowing that we were able to really help me recover, avoid surgery, recover so much faster. And that planted the seeds of what now became NewFit. And so it's really a combination of technology and techniques that make this so valuable to people. And what I think that I've been able to do to add value is to take many pieces that were out there, put them together in new ways, and make an incremental step forward in a few different areas. And because of the combination and the way things work together, it's been able to actually be overall a very meaningful step forward. And so the device, it's a type of electrical stimulation device, and there is a rich history in the world of electrical stimulation. So what we've done is taken that and refined it, and again, take an incremental step forward. And then by combining it within this methodology with a more advanced understanding of modern neuroscience and some of the other things that we're doing, really maximize the value of the technology.
So you got injured, and what inspired you to actually create the device itself? Was it the fact that you couldn't play anymore? Was it the fact that you were going to be out for so long? Like, did you have to go through surgery? Like, what was the actual inspirational part for you to say, let's create this?
So that's a good question. So for me, I had that experience where I had the wrist injury of my own and was able to recover a lot faster by using some of these early neurological principles. And so I started out using other electrical stimulation technology, and I saw a lot of good in it. I also saw that as I started combining it with different methodologies, it became, things started to evolve and really, become uniquely ours. And this whole system that we've evolved now was really starting to take shape. And it was very exciting. And eventually the methodology had evolved. And then after a few years of doing this clinically, actually several years, 6, 7, 8 years, that's when I decided that the limiting factor was the technology, and that we needed our own machine, and that in order to be able to do this the right way, we had to make some improvements and refinements. And so that was actually the last piece of it, and that was the most recent. And then that was, getting that done was certainly an endeavor. Getting that done was also the catalyst for being able to launch this now, launch the whole system, which is not completely in the technology, but certainly centered around the use of the technology.
So I've used your device, the Newbie, and I was amazed by the results that I've gotten, because I remember coming in and I was about to get surgery on my shoulder, mm-hmm. and I was still recovering from the fact that it was dislocated. And so I had very limited range of motion. I wore a sling for a couple of weeks before I had surgery. And I remember coming in and I was just hooked up on this device, and then all of a sudden my range of motion increased like significantly. Mm-hmm. Right. So can you explain what it actually does? Because one of the things that I always tell my audience is, you can have all the productivity strategies in the world. You can have the right to-do list app, the right systems. But if you don't have your health, it's very difficult to actually be productive. Mm-hmm. And we are here to help people achieve their goals and achieve their full potential. And if you don't have your health, it's very difficult to get there. And so when I was recovering from my dislocated shoulder and also getting into surgery, I really wanted to figure out a way to recover faster, because I knew I was going to be out for a while. And I was just unfamiliar with your technology and your device and what it could do. So could you explain how it works?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that it's very aligned with your message and exactly what you're describing in productivity, because productivity ultimately is getting the most return on your investment of time and effort, right? And so in the world of traditional physical therapy and orthopedic practice, a lot of the it's inefficient, and it's definitely the opposite of what you would describe as high productivity. And a large part of that is that the neurological piece of healing and recovery is largely ignored. And, you know, with your shoulder, with surgeries, with injuries, a large part of the problem and what really slows down the healing process is the lack of function around that injured area. So for example, you know, when you had dislocated your shoulder, and then again, when you had the surgery on your shoulder, your body has these protective responses wherein you are contracting all around that site of trauma as a protective mechanism. And it makes sense where your body is basically saying, oh my gosh, this tissue could get attacked again at any moment. So you're contracting around it, protecting around it. And that's productive if someone is going to try to attack that part of your body, but it's actually counterproductive for healing, for movement. And in the process of creating those contractions, your body actually stands in the way of its own healing process, because literally that excessive tension is cutting off the flow of blood, which of course brings the nutrients and the raw materials to heal your tissues and to help you recover. By blocking the flow of blood, it blocks your ability to remove waste products and all aspects of the healing process. And so when you're doing traditional rehabilitation work and just ignoring this piece of it, the reason it takes so darn long is that you're trying to do this process, but there's just an impediment standing in the way. And it's like rolling a boulder uphill, and you roll it up and then it rolls back down at you. You roll it up and it rolls back down at you, because until you break through these underlying neurological patterns and issues, you're just not able to really free up the opportunity for the body to even do its thing and to heal. And so the way that our system works is by, first of all, changing the point of focus. You know, we're working more on function rather than structure. We're working more on the underlying neurological signaling and patterns. And so first of all, you know, we're shifting the focus. And then after that, we're trying to actually solve the problem, identify where these dysfunctions are, and work on them. And so after your surgery, for example, we were able to run a diagnostic process where we could scan around on your body and identify exactly where those dysfunctional neurological patterns are, where that faulty signal is. And then once we know where that is, we're able to work on that area, be very targeted and precise in our approach. And when we work on those areas and we do our job correctly, we often find that things feel a lot better, move a lot better. You know, for you, we had the dramatic increase in range of motion and restore much more optimal function in a very short period of time, because we're getting closer to the source, getting deeper, getting, you know, closer to where these problems are really coming from.
I remember one day when I came in and you were explaining to me how the device worked and kind of like how the layman person can understand it. And one thing that really stuck with me was when your body had a trauma, like surgery was, or when the injury actually happened, then it starts to build these protective mechanisms, as you mentioned, but then it can't distinguish between what's actually good for you, like pain, versus what's actually bad for you. And your device essentially removes those barriers and, from my understanding, rewires the signal to the brain, because pain is essentially a brain signal. It's not actually really pain. Is that right?
So pain is a really interesting rabbit hole that we can go down. And a lot of work has come out on pain in the last 10 to 20 years that's changed our understanding of it. So modern neuroscience, there's still a lot of questions, but has definitely a better handle on pain and what it is compared to what we did 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And pain is definitely an output signal from the brain. It's not an input signal. You don't like touch something and pain gets sent. There's a sense of threat or nociception. And then the brain takes in all that input, and based on the totality of the inputs coming into the brain, it decides whether to create or not create a pain output signal. And so there's some interesting research that shows pain can exist long after tissue is healed, long after the site of injury has actually recovered. And then you can have cases where there is damaged tissue and things that we would think would be painful, but there's no pain whatsoever. So pain does not always necessarily mean damage. Damage does not always necessarily cause pain. pain is always neurological. It's always in the brain, and it's always based on the totality of these signals. And so sometimes changing the signal is what you need to help someone get out of pain. And we've had cases where we've been able to help people reverse chronic pain, even when they've tried many, many other things, from therapies to drugs to even alternative or whatever. And sometimes by changing that signaling, we're able to really help people. Sometimes we see that, you know, we're not able to make progress, and that tells us, hey, there is something else here. And so sometimes tissues really are torn. Sometimes joints really are so badly decayed that they need to be replaced. And thank goodness there's skilled surgeons for those times. But there are many times when it's really just a signaling problem. It's really a neurological problem. And with some of the compelling recoveries that we've seen people make, I'm more and more convinced each day that something like NewFit is worth trying first, you know, most of the time.
I remember talking to several people about this, where I was telling them and I was exploring options. Okay, I've been told that I need surgery. I've been told that I need to see an orthopedic surgeon. And I went across town, across the state to kind of do more research and say, okay, who is the best guy I should get surgery from? And then I also talked to different people and said, hey, you know, maybe surgery is not the option, even though I've been told through different channels and by many specialists that I should have. But I remember coming in, I was talking to Rich, your general manager at the location. He said, you know, maybe you don't need surgery. Like, this device can actually fix a lot of things that most people thought they needed surgery for. So I'm curious to hear from your perspective, what are some of the use cases or people you've helped in terms of what kind of conditions they had and how newbie the device helped them? Like, were there any extreme cases, like where doctors said, you will never be able to do this again, or this is going to take, you know, 6 months to heal, and somebody healed in like 2 weeks or something?
Yeah, those are a great question. We have a lot of those. And, you know, like I said, there certainly are times when surgery is necessary. This isn't a miracle magic pill where you can just all of a sudden put back together something that's been broken apart. But we have had, you know, several cases, for instance, of people who were told that they absolutely would need surgery on their knee meniscus if they wanted to be able to ski or play golf or play recreational soccer or, you know, whatever the activity is. And we've been able to help several of them just through our normal process recover to the point where their knee's stable, they have no pain, they're able to go skiing and ski moguls and you know, really push it to where their knee is being challenged and it's more than capable of handling the challenge. We've seen cases where, you know, some people thought they might need a joint replacement surgery, and we've been able to help them get out of pain to the point where they no longer have to consider it. So we've seen some stuff like that. In terms of extreme use cases, staying in the orthopedic realm, definitely we've been able to help people recover from surgery much faster. Like you said, with your shoulder, you know, we had some really cool progress, and we got to share that one picture on social media of just in the first session, the range of motion that you had. You know, you were able to get from about 20 degrees lifting your arm away from your side all the way up to 90 degrees. And so we gained, you know, I don't know, maybe a little less than 70, you know, 50 degrees worth of range of motion, something that would normally take 5 to 7 weeks to do. And we were able to do it in one session, again, by changing the neurological signaling, because the surgery already took care of a lot of the structural stuff. We just had to work on the functional side. And this was a very quick and efficient way to do it. So certainly helping people recover a lot faster from surgery, helping some people avoid surgery. We've had several athletes. It's now football season here in Texas, so a lot of high school athletes, you know, will sprain their ankle or tear their hamstring in a football game. And with the sprained ankles, for example, you know, the types of injuries that these young men are having, it's usually about 4 weeks to recover. And, you know, that's one option. They can do the usual thing and be out for 3 or 4 weeks. And the ones who come in to see us, you know, if they sprain their ankle in a football game on Friday night, they can come in and do a treatment or two on Saturday. They can do another treatment or two on Sunday. Monday, you know, by the time they've gotten through several sessions, they're feeling better and they're practicing midweek the next week. They're on the practice field Wednesday and able to play that next Friday. And so, you know, there's been a lot of success in helping those sorts of acute injuries like that. And then in the more extreme cases, we've been able to help some people with some very challenging neurological issues, things like spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury. Stroke is also a brain injury. Different neurogenic pain syndromes. We've seen some people get some really cool results using our approach for that. And so the spinal cord injury, for example, we've had a few people we've been working with who we've been able to help them restore function. The most dramatic, and the one that, you know, if any people have been following us on social media or anything, you know, I've seen some clips on Amy. And Amy is a really inspiring woman, just a fabulous human being who happened to get a spinal cord injury in her early 20s. And so she fell off a horse, broke her neck, and in her early 20s, she lost the use of her legs. And she adapted to life in a wheelchair for 25 years. She lived a great life in a wheelchair. And then she came in to see us in her mid to late 40s, 25 years after the injury. And we started working together. And we started to see some really cool things right away, even after 25 years, which was, it was really cool. Because the first time that we worked together, we did our diagnostic process, and we found that there were some places on her leg that if we stimulated, we could drive a little bit of movement in her toes, which was more movement than she had had in 25 years. And she was feeling some sensations that were new already just in the first session. And it led us to believe that, hey, maybe we're onto something. Maybe we really can help her here. And so we started working together more regularly. In the first few weeks, she started being able to distinguish hot and cold. So that was a big breakthrough. And then she started being able to sweat in her lower body, because even in the hot Texas sun here, she would never sweat from the waist down. And so that started happening. And she does this really cool thing, give you an idea of the kind of spirit that she has. She would go hogging or hand jogging, and she'd push herself in her wheelchair for a few miles at a time. So she's, you know, absolutely diligent about staying fit and staying sharp and on her game. And she, you know, she wouldn't sweat at all when she was out hogging, but that ability came back. And then she started getting more movement in her hip flexors and feet, and more greater stability in her trunk, where normally her core muscles wouldn't turn on enough to where she'd just have to slouch back and sit against the back of her chair. And then she started being able to sit up, and so much so that she actually went kayaking on Town Lake here in Austin. And then she was getting enough movement back that she could start to lift her legs in and out of a bathtub, and then eventually be able to stand with hand support. And now she's walking with a walker, and we've been working together for 2 years now. And she went from, you know, at about a year being able to take a first step with a walker, and now she walks up and down this 150-foot hallway that we have at our office. And she just broke her 4-minute mile, where in the beginning it took about 15 minutes. She had to stop and start several times, and now she's gotten that down, you know, 13 minutes, 10 minutes, 7 minutes, 5 minutes. Now she just broke 4 minutes in walking with a walker down that hallway. And so it's really cool to see this progression and the way that it's been able to help Amy with her recovery from spinal cord injury. And then other, you know, we've seen a few extreme cases. Definitely more of what we see is in that orthopedic, help people recover faster from joint injury or muscle tears kind of thing. But we've seen some exciting things on that more neurological realm as well.
Is that the same lady that I've seen at the location come in?
Yeah.
Okay,
I
wow.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I was amazed by what she could do, because I was shocked when you come in a wheelchair, you wouldn't expect that person to be able to walk, and she was able to use the device and just go at it and be happy. And I was blown away when I saw that.
Yeah, it's been really cool, and it's so inspiring. You know, other people have seen her coming in, and so we've had a few other people with spinal cord injuries come in or other neurological issues come in because they've seen some of the work that she's done and some of the things that she's shared on social media or through other channels. And it, you know, it's amazing because it brings hope to people, and it legitimately shows what's possible, that even someone with a spinal cord injury still has that amazing human potential and that human ability to adapt and change and recover and regenerate and grow. And we're just providing an avenue for her to tap into that, and for these other people to tap into that innate ability and power that we all have.
I remember there was this one video on your Instagram account where I saw this old lady dancing. Yeah. And she said, oh my gosh, this is the best I've ever felt. And she was like in her late 70s, maybe. Yeah. She was dancing, and I'm assuming she just used the device and she was able to do a lot of movements that she never thought was possible. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then I met another lady. She actually came to one of our dinner parties, Jules. She recovered from back surgery like 3 times, and she was using NewFit to kind of recover and heal faster. And she's posting about it all the time as well when she's working out there. And
yeah, and she's cool because she is a really elite trainer, like fitness trainer, and very knowledgeable. And she knew a lot about what she wanted to do. And we were just able to, with our technology, to fill in some of the gaps to help her get to activate and reconnect with some of those muscles that, you know, she just couldn't really use after the back surgeries. And so she's very inspirational too, because she has recovered from these terrible back surgeries and brought herself back to a level that is really admirable and is also really, yeah, very inspiring.
I know you worked with a lot of professional athletes, and whether that's NFL, NBA, or MLB. The reason I actually heard about you for the first time was I was working with Rick from Yagoscu, mm-hmm. the Yagoscu Clinic here in Austin. And I was recovering from surgery, and before I was going into surgery as well, he was talking to me about, hey, you know, you should consider looking into NewFit. It's this device that will help you recover faster and send you electrical signals and stuff like that. So, okay, it sounds interesting, you know, and dumb me didn't make a note of it at that time. So I forgot about it. And it wasn't until later on I met with Brad, or one of our mutual friends. He and I met for coffee one morning, and he has been going to the clinic as well, the NewFit clinic here in Austin. And he was telling me about it again, and he said, oh, you should, you know, consider a NewFit before you hit into surgery and just, you know, get a consultation and see what they say. And that's when I remember, oh, that's what Rick told me as well. So now it was two people telling me about this. And I thought, okay, now it's probably a signal that I should go in and actually do something about it. So then he texted you and said, hey, you know, you should talk to Tan. And then you and I started talking. And then I came in. And for those who don't know, just to give you some context of what happened to me and why I'm such a big believer in the technology is about 2 years ago, I dislocated my shoulder for the first time. And the way it happened was I was taking hip hop dance classes and I did a weird move and then my shoulder got dislocated. So I had to go to the ER, put it back in, and then I followed traditional PT for just a little bit. But then I got in touch with Rick of Yagoscu and he kind of helped me recover. And a couple months later, I was fine again. I couldn't really work out for the first like 5-6 months or so. But eventually I was able to get back into the swing of things and work out. And then literally a year later after the first incident, I dislocated it again. This is the second time. And up until that point, I've never been, you know, up to the first dislocation, never been to the ER or a hospital whatsoever. Always been pretty healthy, never had like major injuries or something. And so now the second time happened, and when I went to the ER again, I had the same guy put my shoulder back in. He's like, hey, I remember you from last year. I was like, okay, this is not good. So after talking to different specialists and hearing out what they recommended, everybody basically said you need surgery or things will just get worse from there. I forgot the technical term, but something that only old people usually suffer from when it's like bone on bone. I forgot what it was called. But they basically all said, yes, you need to have surgery. So I talked to different surgeons and then I ended up talking to you before I went into surgery. And I had very limited range of motion in my shoulder after I was recovering from the second dislocation because I was in a sling for 2-3 weeks. And I remember coming in and all of a sudden I could raise my arm to a certain level that I never could have done before. And this was literally just being hooked up on the machine for like 10, 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, this is a voodoo machine. It's working. You know, and so, okay, this is great. Like, this is going to help me recover from surgery. So then I went in for surgery and I remember you telling me, hey, come in as soon as you are cleared by the surgeon so that we can start working on you. Right. So it was about 6 days after my surgery, I had a torn labrum that had to be repaired. And I saw the surgeon. He said, okay, you know, you're going to wear a sling for 2 to 3 weeks. You know, you're not going to start PT, physical therapy, until 4 or 5 weeks from now. You know, make sure you come see me first before you start, you know, doing PT, and then we can kind of go from there. And literally, I left that clinic and I went to see you right away. And that's when we took that picture that you mentioned earlier. So I left the surgeon, went to see you. We did our session together. And I remember him saying, hey, when you start PT, expect roughly a 10 degree motion progress that you make in terms of your shoulder. Right, so you can move your arm up 10 degrees a week if you follow the PT protocol every single week. And then I remember seeing you and being hooked up on the device, the newbie. We did our session. It was 20, 25 minutes or so. And I was able to move my arm like almost 90 degrees, right? So roughly 50, 60 degrees. So normally that would have taken 5 or 6 weeks to get there through normal PT. And we were able to do it in like 25 minutes. And that's when I was like blown away. So what are some other things that you've seen in terms of people, let's say, with surgery, or what did you see in my case where you were really confident to say, hey, you know, this is actually going to be very easy, or this is going to be really fast progression?
Yeah, that's a good question, and thank you for sharing that. I think the biggest take home point from hearing you share your story is that it's not a shoulder problem, it's a signaling problem. And likewise, when we work with other people and other joints, you know, it's especially after you've had surgery and the joint is repaired, it's no longer a joint problem, it's a signaling problem. And by changing the signal, we can change for the better many aspects of function and your experience and your ability to use that joint. And that's something that's common that we've seen a lot. A lot of times with shoulder surgeries, with the labrum particularly, that range of motion is usually the limiting factor in the beginning. Whereas with other surgeries like rotator cuff, it can be more strength and force. But with that labrum, it's usually the stiffness. And so it's common that we're able to help people recover that range of motion much more quickly. Similarly, after knee surgery, with whether it be ACL surgery with athletes or people who've had knee replacement surgery. So we had one that we've shared, and so I can talk about it. After knee surgery recently, we got to work with Trent Dilfer, the retired NFL quarterback who people may recognize from, you know, he's on Monday Night Football. He does some stuff on the NFL Network now, and just another fabulous human being. Really, it's one of the best things about this clinic and this line of work is some of the people I've been able to meet during this. So it's been a real privilege to get to know him. And he came in to see us after his knee replacement surgery. And knee replacements are interesting because it's an extreme version of this type of principle that we're talking about. The body is absolutely put back together. That new knee is safer, is more stable, is better in almost every way than the knee that was so badly gnarled that it had to be taken out. And the issue with the recovery process is that the body doesn't recognize that that new knee is actually there and that it's a good thing. It just knows that there was trauma, that the surgery was invasive, that the body thinks it's under attack. And so it has all these strong protective mechanisms around that knee. And that is a large part of what limits the range of motion and shuts down the signal to the muscles and causes them to atrophy. And with him, he was on the same usual trajectory that everyone was on. And you know, it was about 3 weeks after surgery when he first came in to see us. He was still really stiff, had trouble getting around, was really sore. And in that first session, we gained about 20 degrees of knee range of motion. And you know, it was really, really incredible. And he was moving so much better, so much more smoothly, with so much less pain. He actually told his surgeon about it. His surgeon even came in and tried out a couple sessions and you know, was interested in talking to us about potentially doing some research together, things like that. So that is another good example of this type of thing. And knee replacements, you know, there's so many of them. There's 750,000 of them in the last year alone, just in the U.S. And the recovery process is so difficult. And there's so many pain meds for most people, so many therapy appointments. Takes a long time to get out of pain and to be able to meet simple functional objectives like walking up and down stairs. And we've seen that we're able to accelerate that. And so that actually is one of the things that we're going to study in our first clinical trial that is launching, you know, right around now, about the end of this year. So we're going to start looking at that more formally and try to get some numbers behind it. And I'm excited to look at that because there's so much room for improvement and there's so many people who have that. So that is, that's the one of the first things that we're going to be looking at to get some real scientific strength behind everything I'm sharing with you here.
I remember walking into the regular physical therapist's office after I left and saw you. This was roughly 4 weeks after my surgery, and I was mm-hmm. clear to half PT. And when I walked in, we did our initial, you know, kind of like measurements of like, well, what's my current range of motion? I just had surgery and stuff. And I remember talking to the therapist, and she said, wow, like, this is pretty good. Like, you just had surgery 4 weeks ago. I was like, yeah, wow, like you're way far ahead than everybody else. And I didn't tell her that I was following you guys and I was using NewFit to kind of recover. Because in my mind, it was kind of like maybe she's scared a little bit in terms of like that there's this competition and like, you know, mm-hmm. and I know sometimes people kind of get into that mindset. So I didn't want to tell her right away. And so as you and I were working together on a weekly basis, I was making a lot of progress. And then when I was showing up at the physical therapist's office, she knows I was making a lot more progress than most other clients that she was working with. And so at the end, when I finished my physical therapist sessions, which I still find very useful because it was just helping put more strength back in mm-hmm. and also help increase the range of motion while I was away from you. And at the end, I told her about NewFit and she's like, oh, wow. Like, no wonder you were so far ahead, like, even though she didn't know that about the technology. Mm-hmm. But it was just funny to see her face, how much further ahead I was compared to everybody else. And that's just, I think a good testament to what the device can do, at least what it did for me.
It's a secret weapon, but hopefully we can make it less of a secret. Get it right. out there. Get it
right.
out there.
Even if you're not injured or you don't have surgery right now, like, I think this is a good option to be aware of, whether it's like you dealing with something right now or in the future, or maybe somebody else close to your family or friends. Like, I think this is such a fantastic option that people should be aware of, which is why I'm excited to have you here today. Because I was able to recover. Technically, the surgeon said, hey, you know, after 4 to 5 months, you're kind of clear to start working out. And after about 6 months, to do like contact sports. But I felt after working with you on a weekly basis, I felt pretty good after 2.5 months of being able to work out again. Mm-hmm. Now, I was pretty conservative and I didn't start working out until like 3.5 months or so. But I felt pretty great about it. And what took most people maybe 4, 5, 6 months, I was able to do technically like 2.5, 3 months, like mm-hmm. almost half the time, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
And we see that particularly with a lot of the athletes that we work with, where they'll come in and see us. One cool little anecdote, and one of the things that first allowed us to catch on within the high school athlete community is that we were working with a young lady, probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago now, and she was a very elite level softball player, was already set to go play Division I college softball, and she, in her senior year of high school, she was skiing over Christmas break, and on New Year's Day, she tore her ACL. And she was already, you know, already set to go to college that fall. So everyone was telling her, hey, just, you know, do the surgery, recover, focus on recovery. You're not going to be able to play this spring for the high school season. So you just get ready to go and make the most of your college career. And so she thought about it, but she wanted to see if she could get back. And so her mother actually reached out to us and asked us if we thought we could help, and I said yes, of course. And so we started working together. She had her surgery about January 15th of that year, was working with us, and she was doing multiple sessions a week. She was, you know, at one period of time rented a machine and brought it home and was doing, you know, 2 sessions a day, and then coming in to see us a few times a week and just really doing everything she could to accelerate that recovery, really putting in the work, definitely meeting us halfway. And long story short, she ended up being able to step out on the field and play on about April 15th, so 4 months after her surgery, way ahead of schedule. Even her very conservative surgeon cleared her to go out there because he looked at her and he evaluated her and he said, gosh, you know, everything is strong. This is, knee is so good. I don't have a reason in good conscience to hold you back. And so he cleared her to go out and play. And when she was supposed to be still in physical therapy recovering, she was actually out there on the field and literally led her team to win the state championship in softball. And it was a really cool, really amazing story. And that, you know, then they referred in some friends and other people. And so that was one of the things that got us a little momentum or notoriety in the high school athlete community. But it was a really cool story because she literally was out there, you know, got a whole high school season that she otherwise would not have had.
And when it comes to professional athletes, when your livelihood depends on you being able to show up, be on the field, and actually produce on the field, it makes sense to, you know, recover faster, right? And I feel the same way for entrepreneurs or people who run their own businesses. The fact that, you know, it crossed my mind that I could have been out for 4, 5, 6 weeks not being able to work, that would affect my business. It would affect my bottom line. It would affect our revenue, our growth of the company. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that I'm not there, not being able to work. And it's very true for athletes as well. If they can't recover faster, they're going to be missing out on a contract extension or like a payday. And to me, it makes sense. Like if you have so much dependencies on what you do, and whether that's you're an athlete or a bodybuilder or you run your own business, or maybe like you can't just miss time off, being able to recover faster is almost like a secret weapon that most people don't even know about, but it's so key, and especially when your livelihood depends on it.
Yeah. And it's interesting that recovering from injury and surgery and the types of things that we've been talking about here is really not that much different than it is to recover from the controlled trauma or the controlled stress of a workout, or recovering from the stresses of a workday and, you know, being an executive and managing all these different things and having to be always on all the time. And the recovery process from all of that definitely has a lot of overlap, a lot of similarities. And that's one of the things that people have commented is that, you know, coming into CS, because of the neurological activation and the global effects within the whole body of that, people have felt energized, rejuvenated. You know, we have several professional athletes and then a few high-level entrepreneurs who actually have machines of ours at home and use it for their training. And a big part of why they have it is just that they feel like it gives them that mental edge. It energizes them. It helps them recover from everything so that they can continue to perform at their highest level. In many ways, this the same kind of thing, recovering from injury and just recovering from, you know, being depleted from a intense workday and an intense travel schedule and all the cognitive demands.
So let's talk about that, because obviously, up to this point, we've talked about how your device that you invented helped people, including myself, recover faster and do things that they thought wouldn't be possible until much later. But there's also a lot of people, professional athletes, bodybuilders, or just fitness enthusiasts in general, who can use the device to have more productive workouts. One thing I mentioned earlier in the show here is that people can use this to get better results, faster results, gain more muscle mass in shorter periods of time. Mm-hmm. So how does that work then?
Absolutely. So in terms of building muscle mass, for example, you know, that's one of the major goals that people have when they go to the gym. One of the main reasons people go to the gym or work out at all, wherever they work out. And in order to build muscle mass, you need to have a couple things. The biggest one is you need to have a workout stimulus where you deplete your muscles in a certain way so that you actually break down the proteins and some of the energy stores in your muscle. And then when those compounds are present in the blood, they trigger these processes in the body to synthesize proteins, to send the raw materials to the muscles, to build them back up so that they build back bigger and stronger to be able to better handle the next challenge. And of course, you need to also have the raw materials and you give your body the, you know, biological foundation that it needs to recover and build muscle. And in terms of the training stimulus, there's a lot of ways you can do that. You know, people have been doing body weights or lifting in the gym on machines or using kettlebells or bands, or, you know, there's a lot of different things you can do. But the goal just in building muscle is getting that depletion, which is a signal to rebuild the muscle during the recovery period. And so with our technology, we can help muscles contract harder than they normally do on their own, go for longer than they normally can on their own, and get a greater input signal so that you have a greater level of depletion and a greater stimulus to rebuild all of that muscle tissue during the recovery period. So, you know, we have even some professional bodybuilders who have really started to use and really like using our machine because they are able to, you know, in 10 to 15 minutes on, say, their legs or on their pec muscles or on their lats, they're able to get a workout what would normally take 15 to 20 sets and, you know, 30 to 60 minutes, they're able to get that in 10 minutes. And they're just blown away at how much more intense it is and how much faster they're able to see results. So, you know, again, like you're talking about productivity, getting a return on the investment of time and effort. If you can put in 10 minutes rather than 60 minutes, and if you can get way more out of those 10 minutes, gosh, that's the definition of a productive workout there. And so for muscle building and strength, there's a very compelling use case for people who are looking for those kinds of results. And then for people, you know, like you and me, who are entrepreneurs, more focused on running a business, of course we care about our bodies. And, you know, for me, no surprise given my line of work, you know, I really care about keeping myself healthy, but my livelihood doesn't depend on me being able to pitch, you know, 98 miles an hour or being able to jump 42 inches in the air. And so one of the elements that's become so valuable for me is that in a 15 to 20 minute workout with the newbie, I get so much stimulation neurologically that I get all of the cognitive benefits of exercise. My brain works at a higher level and my whole body is energized. And so I'm really able to take advantage of all those benefits that normally people think they need much, much longer in the gym in order to achieve.
So can it also help with, for example, activating certain muscles that normally have a hard time to be activated? So as an example, when I squat, usually it's a lot of the times it's the quads that do a lot of the work for me, whereas my hamstring and the muscles there aren't activated as much. So usually I have to spend a lot of time warming up and making sure that they're activated before I start squatting so I can get the full range of motion and really activate the right muscles. So would that help with that too?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another really major value proposition. So I'm glad you mentioned that, is that a lot of times people train and, you know, they're present in the gym, they're willing to put in the effort, they are putting in the effort, they're trying, but they're very limited in what they're able to achieve because either they're in pain and so they can't do many things, or they have to compensate their movements and change their movements to go around the pain, or everything that they try to do, they're in that same mode of, you know, like they're pushing a boulder uphill and it's just rolling back down, push it uphill and roll it back down, because their body isn't working efficiently. Those signals are so far off that they just can't get enough productive work in to actually create enough of a signal to get the types of changes that they want in their bodies. And so this can be a big value add for those type of people, because we can, by using the machine, help people engage the appropriate muscles, change the signaling so that they are using the appropriate muscles during movement so that they can do more movement with less pain to get over that hurdle, and then be able to just use the appropriate muscles, period, so that they get challenged and they actually start to see some of the results that they're looking for.
So can anybody just walk into any gym and start using this device, or are there only certain locations right now? Like how do people, everyday people, doesn't even have to be professional athletes, how did they get access to the newbie?
Great question. So here in Austin, we have our home office and we've been seeing people here for about 10 years. And thankfully now, in the last year, we've been able to expand our reach by working with other practitioners around the country. So there's now several other businesses around the country, some physical therapy clinics, some chiropractic offices, some naturopathic medical offices, some gyms, various businesses around the country who have brought in our technology, have gone through our education process in order to learn how to use the technology and apply our methods, and they're now using it with tremendous success in many different areas of the country. So we'll have a landing page for listeners of the podcast at new.fit. So it's neu.fit/efficiency, not N-E-W, but neu.fit/efficiency. And we'll have a link on there to our map of practitioners around the country. And hopefully, if you're here in the U.S., you'll be in an area where there is someone who has NewFit and you can try it out near you. We're adding to that list every day, and if there isn't someone near you yet, you know, hopefully there will be soon. Or if you work with a practitioner, if you work with a physical therapist or a chiropractor and you think this might be interested, please let them know about us and see if maybe they are willing to bring this on, and then this can get into your community as well.
Yeah, so if you're interested in this, we will add the links in the show notes as well, so you can access that. Garrett, this was really great. I'm super thankful for you sharing all this knowledge and wisdom, and I really wish that more people know about this technology, because like I said, having gone through it myself and recovering from surgery and from injury, I've seen the effects it had on me. I was able to recover so much faster and being able to get back to work so much quicker and be happier, because I'm now doing things that I was doing previously, but in a much shorter period of time, because I was dreading the fact that I might need it 6 months to recover, but I actually was okay after 2.5. And so thank you so much for inventing not only the device, but also sharing your wisdom here today.
Well, thank you very much. And like you said, I'm in the same boat. You know, I want to help get this out there, help more people know about it. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on the show and share this. And it really is a grassroots movement to try and take it to the people. So thank you everybody for listening, and thank you Tan for having me. It's an honor to be here and to share this with you.
And one last point, if you want to get to NewFit, we'll have the links in the show notes, but you want to remind people one more time where to go?
Yeah, so the landing page just for your listeners is new.fit/efficiency. And then if you're on social media, the platform where we're most active is Instagram. So please give us a follow there. It'll be NewFitRFP for rehab, fitness, and performance.
Perfect. Thank you, Garrett, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tan.
You also want to improve your health and increase your energy? Take our productivity quiz today and we'll show you the next steps to do that. We've helped over 13,000 people tackle their to-do lists, maximize their time, and achieve their goals. If you're tired of never having enough energy to get everything done on your endless to-do list, take 2 minutes and complete our online productivity quiz. You will get personalized tips and strategies to help you work smarter without sacrificing time from other areas of your life. You shouldn't be sacrificing what you care about to get stuff done, because you should be able to get it all done in the time you have. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, the URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. You can find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/223. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.